Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the nation's capital, it's the Power of Poetics, the DC Poetry Project's open mic call-in show.
Project. So welcome. Every week we attempt to travel to places in our imaginations through the power of poetry, places again that only our imaginations can build. This week what we'll do, as we always do, is to hopefully have an opportunity to for people to call in and to share their truth through poetry. I'd like to begin with a very short little piece. I'm still working on it. The piece is called I'm Mellow. I'm mellow, not mellow yellow, just mellow. Mellow like the wind on a silent spring day. Mellow like the word itself. The softness of the sound dozes on my tongue. Bananas are yellow. Maybe being yellow is not so bad after all. Just a little short piece, just a little something to say hello from the nation's capital again. The call-in number is 646-716-8754. We have a caller. I'd like to bring him on the line. He's a regular on our show. His name is Gary Wingdog Malone, superstar. He's also been one of the featured guests on the Power Poetics. So, again, let me bring him on the air. Good evening,
hey, what's
Gary.
Up, Mike?
All right,
how
my
you
friend,
doing,
how
Mike?
Are you? I'm doing pretty
good,
buddy. How about yourself? Good, good, good.
Good.
You having a good week? All right, had a good weekend?
Well, it kind of got off to a rough start.
Did it?
Yeah.
All right. But you're with us tonight.
Yeah, but I'm going to make the best of it in spite of.
All right. Right. Always important, man. That's really pretty much all we can do is to make the best of it and keep on going. It's a tough world out there, man. You know?
Yeah.
One thing that I failed to do, I'd like us to observe a moment of silence for the individuals who were killed in Charleston, if that's okay. Just a moment of silence for them. I think it's the least that we as a DC Poetry Project can do. All right. It's a moment of silence. All right, all right. It was a tough week for a lot of us, my friend, in a number of different ways. All right. Do you have any poems that you'd like to share tonight? I'm just calling in to listen.
Yeah. Matter of fact, you know, last week you shared a poem, something about your grocery list.
Yes. Yes, I did.
And you asked me, you said, I need to write something. I can't think what you said, something about the grocery list.
Right.
And I forget all about it. I thought about it today at work. And that being said, I wrote this poem today at work called Grocery List.
Okay. All right. All right. Wow.
I share it. And I just not typed it up. It's my first time ever reading it out loud to myself, even. So, I mean, so bear with me
okay.
if I don't get it.
Oh, no, you know, you always work in the divine, man. So Just do your thing.
Well, like I said, I hadn't even practiced on how to, you know, sometimes how to bring the flow or the breaks or whatever. I'm just my first time reading it.
All right.
Okay, here I go. Eggs, butter, cheese, ketchup, black pepper, bread. Oh, news. Tonight on the evening news, another unarmed black man was beaten and arrested for jaywalking. Police said he was forcibly restrained for resisting arrest. That one number, excessive force. Damn racist cop. When will all police brutality stop? Crackers, red hot dogs, bologna, mayo. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Nationwide is on your side. Then Liberty Mutual called and he break into your happy dance. What's with all these commercials? Vinegar, pinto beans, rice. Now back to the news. Another American was arrested for plotting a terrorist attack here on the USA soil. He was radicalized online by ISIS supporters. I'd be glad when ISIS become I was. Just plain evil. Pickle relish for devil eggs. Ranch dressing, lettuce, tomatoes. There's a nationwide Amber Alert for 6-year-old Maya, who was allegedly kidnapped by her 24-year-old babysitter. They was last seen in the Atlanta, Georgia metro area in a red sedan. Also, another priest resigned for allegation of child sexual abuse. Freaking pedophiles. Fry his deceptive ass. Chicken, french fries. Pork chops, ground beef, buns. Then I hate it when the phone rings when I'm watching the news. Hello? No, I don't want to participate in no survey or make a donation to Jeb's campaign. Matter of fact, take me off your call list. Coming up next in sports news, the Golden State Warriors defeated the Cleveland Cavaliers last night. Now who's texting me? Oh, it's Susan. I ain't up for her drama today. I'll text her later. Ask your doctor before taking Viagra. And quit taking Viagra if you'll have an erection for 4 hours or more. It makes mine hurt just to think of that. Strawberries, Cool Whip, wine, six-pack, three-pack of Trojan. Might get lucky. Dang, I'd have missed half the news. 5 tornadoes ripped through the Midwest, leaving a trail of destruction. No one was hurting. And floods continue to ravage the South in Texas and Louisiana. Hot sauce, tuna, milk, cream cheese. Lawmakers and protesters are at odds with the current conservative groups over removal of the Confederate flag in South Carolina, where they continue to mourn the loss of 9 parishioners slain in a local church by a young white right-wing terrorist. And they should remove that flag. It's about history, heritage. Really? Concerned citizen of America? That's just like saying the Civil War wasn't about slavery. Yeah, I know it don't remove the hate from hearts and minds, but it's the beginning of removing symbolic gestures of racism. See, people can hide hate, but you cannot hide the ugly reminders of what that flag represents. And my heart goes out for those family, those 9 victims. Well, that concludes this segment of the evening news. Good night, America. Now I don't even feel like going to the grocery store. The end.
Oh, man, that was right on time. How did you feel about it?
Feel about what?
That particular piece of poetry. After you had a chance to read it out loud.
I liked it. I mean, I think it was very on point. And I mean, I hope I didn't confuse nobody. I'm sitting here writing my grocery list and trying to looking at the news and then all the interruptions and then, you know, the variety of the things that you know, when you're watching the news, you hear the things and you make those little comments or, you know, in the interruption. I think it was just a it was just also a reminder. I mean, like a mixture of my grocery list. You know, when you go to the grocery store, you got all these different things in the different aisles and the different things. So I just, you know, I just tied it in. Just try to put another catch on just to, you know, that you be creative a little bit. Hope it makes sense.
Yeah.
And not.
It does. I mean, one thing that you can do, and I kind of noticed it, I'm not sure whether you had planned this or not, when you talked about Viagra and the erectile dysfunction, and in that particular part of your grocery list, you talked about buying Trojan condoms.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one thing that I was thinking is that each story could, each segment of the news or each story on the news could mirror what you're planning to buy. You see what I'm saying? Some stories
right.
are really lighthearted. You know, so that stuff would be really like ice cream, you know what I'm saying, ice cream, candy. But then as the stories get either more sensuous or, quote, sexual or more violent, then you're buying cayenne pepper. You see what I'm saying? You're buying onions. You see those kinds of things. I mean, I can
right,
see that
right.
mirroring going back and forth. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was, and that's what I was doing. I tying in the, you know, the some of the things in my list, you know, like for instance, when I the Viagra, you know, and then I thought about my night out with the strawberries, the cool whip, you know, the date
right.
and all that, you know.
Right. Hey man, you a talented man, a talented man. If you lived in D.C., man, you take it over.
I appreciate it, man. I thank you for the inspiration, just giving me the creative, because I was like, you know, I said, how can I flip this, you know? So it took my mind off of what was bothering me earlier these past two days. So it helped me to get my mind off of that. So that was a good thing, too.
Okay. Well, I'm glad about that. Well, well, what I'll do, I think I'll share one. I don't think I've got anything that I've written personally. I did have one, but I can't. Something happened to the second page, so I won't write. I'll do that one next week. Here's one, and I did it a couple of months ago. I think you were with me during that time. I think you were. I think it was just you and I, like tonight. It's called The Invitation by Oriah Mountain Dreamer. And I did like this one. It doesn't interest me what you do for a living. I want to know what you ache for and if you dare to dream of meeting your heart's longing. It doesn't interest me how old you are. I want to know if you will risk looking like a fool for love, for your dream, for the adventure of being alive. It doesn't interest me what planets are squaring your moon. I want to know if you have touched the center of your own sorrow. If you have been opened by life's betrayals or have become shriveled and closed from fear of further pain. I want to know if you can sit with pain, mine or your own, without moving to hide it or fade it or fix it. I want to know if you can be with joy, mine or your own, if you can dance with wildness and let the ecstasy fill you to the tips of your fingers and toes without cautioning us to be careful, be realistic, remember the limitations of being human. It doesn't interest me if the story you are telling me is true. I want to know if you can disappoint another to be true to yourself. If you can bear the accusation of betrayal and not betray your own soul, if you can be faithless and therefore trustworthy. I want to know if you can see beauty even when it's not pretty every day, and if you can source your own life from its presence. I want to know if you can live with failure, yours and mine, and still stand at the edge of the lake and shout to the silver of the moon, yes! It doesn't interest me to know where you live or how much money you have. I want to know if you can get up after the night of grief and despair, weary and bruised to the bone, and do what needs to be done to feed the children. It doesn't interest me who you know or how you came to be here. I want to know if you will stand in the center of the fire with me and not shrink back. It doesn't interest me where or what or with whom you have studied. I want to know what sustains you from the inside when all else falls away. I want to know if you can be alone with yourself and if you truly like the company you keep in the empty moments. The end.
Mm. That was deep.
Wasn't that deep?
Yes, it was. Very.
I don't know which verse or stanza I like the best, you know?
Right. Yeah, it was so many different, you know, moments and, you know, things I agree. That was a very profound piece, you know, to sit there. Read that last one about being alone with yourself.
Okay. I want to know if you can be alone with yourself and if you truly like the company you keep in the empty moments.
Mm. See, just thinking about that, I was like, wow.
Yeah. That's a very powerful one because it can be tough being alone with yourself or allowing yourself to be alone with yourself. That's not always easy, you know, because when your mind is constantly full of thoughts and you're constantly feeling rushed and hurried in terms of your thinking, it's difficult to find out who you are in that moment. And then once it quiets down, and this is something I'm experiencing myself right now. Once it quiets down, well, what do I do now? I don't have this to think about. I don't have this to think about. What am I supposed to do at this time?
Then you find
and this time
going
should
right.
Be, well, I was going to say, really, this time should be focused on me, but it's not. I'm sorry, buddy. Please.
Yeah. I mean, I was listening, you know, and then like I said, sometimes I find myself either drifting right back to where I was, you know, because, like I said, my mind is constantly going all the time. And how do you enjoy the long time without getting caught back up and, you know, letting your mind drift back to those dark crevices and things like that? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yes, of course.
How do you really, you know, how do you enjoy that momentary of peace without
drifting? Well, you remember that song, I think it was by Walter Hawkins and Tremaine Hawkins and that whole group, and I think it's called Stand Still and Know. I think that's the name of it. Maybe that's not the name of it. Well, maybe that's the answer is just to be still and know and allow that level of that sense of vulnerability during that time to just work its way through your body and to recognize that all vulnerability is not bad. Maybe we're talking about two different things here, but for me, when my mind goes to those negative thoughts and negative places, and when my mind is, quote, free, it seems as if I'm naturally, as we were talking about, drawn back to that negative place because that's what I know. That's what I've learned to embrace. I've not learned to embrace the quietness or the mellowness.
Right.
You know, so maybe what I need to do is just to be still and know that it's okay. It's okay to walk around with no thoughts in your mind, in your head. Figuratively, no thoughts. And just be still.
Yeah, but are you capable of doing that? Having a moment of no thoughts. Seems like just as soon as you empty your mind, it's being invaded with something else, you know, with something. And it ain't necessarily always bad things. You might you just,
right.
You know, how do you empty that mind and you know.
That's a very good question, man.
Why? Because I'm constantly, I can find myself, you know, alone and quiet and just thinking. You know, and then before long, I'm preoccupied with something. I didn't allow myself to be preoccupied with something else, unless I go to sleep.
Is it because you want to be preoccupied with something else, or you feel that you need to be preoccupied with something else?
I'm about to say, man, I don't know if it's necessary if I want to. Or I feel like I'm so used to it that
right.
I just feel like I
right.
need to be, feel like I'm not being productive if I'm not, you know what I'm saying? Or not,
oh, yes,
you know, and maybe. I don't know.
Well, maybe
consciously think of as you know the next no next time just it's conscious be conscious of it and think about it.
Well, I think maybe it's for both of us a matter of reconditioning our minds so that we don't think of those things, to make a conscious choice, kind of what you're talking about, to say, I'm not going to think about that right now, or I'm not going to think about anything right now. You know, just like little children, we had to learn how to ride bicycles, you know.
Right.
So once you learn how to ride, you know, you can't say you don't know. So if you can learn how to recondition our minds to say, hey, just be still, you know, that's a place to start, just to practice. Maybe
right.
That's what it is, my friend. It's just practicing. Just practicing
right.
Turning your mind off.
Right. Yeah, that's what I agree.
Do you have another piece for us, my friend?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I always like hearing you share your work.
I said this, but it's called Right Back. You know, I got a cousin, and I wrote this on a whim, sitting there talking to him. He always said, I'll be right back. And I said, and I'm going to drop the N word in here a couple of times. It's as if I'm having this conversation with him. That's what I wrote this poem out of perspective that I'm talking to him. And that's how the conversation arrives. And he said something to me, and he said, I'll be right back. And I said, man, you're always telling me that. I said, I'm going to write a poem about that right now. And I did. And this is what I wrote. And the title is called Right Back. Hold up, wait a minute. I'll be right back. Negro, please. Two words out of a brother's mouth keeps a brother off tracks. And those two words are right back. Niggas been leaving for years with good intentions of returning on time, headed to the store, up the street, next door, right around the corner, with right back on the corner of their mind. Following wrong would never make one like to do right. You'd be on some other shit. When what you need is a double dose of act right, no, you need three hits. One for lying all the time instead of standing on the truth, and one for lying around sleeping all day and hanging out all night. Another one for not having to fight a good fight. You say you'll be right back, and you know damn well you ain't coming back. Your wordplay, playing with your word, making excuses. I can give you a pen, paper, and a stamp, and you still won't write back. And Jesus is waiting on you, and you still ain't came right back. Yo, son, come back, fall back in order, because summer's almost over and fall is right around the corner. See, you've been walking right back and forth between reality and fantasy, thinning the line between love and hate, saying I'll be right back, but never on time and you're always late. Right back? For real? Really? Are you serious? Bump that. Back is a powerful word, my brother. You've been talking back, fighting back, chilling, laid back, keep back, waiting for that good girl to come back, standing back in the cut, watching time fly by on some revenge tip, trying to pay back. Listen, you don't owe back a penny. If it don't build you up, then everything you lost, you should have won't back any. Now, feel this joint. I doubt it. See, if I was an arrow, you still wouldn't get my point. Mr. Right Back, stay back as my pen spit the truth while I bring the pain. Check out my method, man. Oh, I'm about to snap off. Pick up your ego, jump back in your skin. Run back to your senses with your back against the wind. Excuse me, now step back before I put your swag in a box and call you Jack. And turn around, let me get that monkey, get that bananas and get that monkey off your back. Now you say you'll be right back? Dude, take that lie right back where you found it. Young Buck, I'm not going to fall for that old trick. See, I'm too wise. How can you out-slick an oil slick? Now, I'm about to leave. And trust me, I'll be right back in a hot minute. Really, I mean it. Right back. From that look on your face, I don't expect now you really believe that. Now you know what I feel like when you say, I'll be right back. Now, holler back.
Man. Another brilliant piece. We're going to come right back with the DC Poetry Project's Poets on Fire. The call-in number is 646-716-8754. We'll be right back. Literally.
I first saw you paint the edges of my sister's hair vibrant. You been hiding in a garden in South America for centuries, fuchsia. When they first found you, you were striking and breathtaking to behold, dancing on the feet of women that have nothing left but them and the sunrise. You awake even before the sun does. You are running across the sky with oranges and yellows, telling everyone that it's a new day.
All right, that was Monk Turner. Fuchsia, we are back. We have a caller on the line, another caller. Let me bring this person in. Caller area 240, first number is 2. You're on the air. Welcome to the Power of Poetics.
Hello, how you doing?
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Hello, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How's everything?
Everything's fantastic. And yourself?
Man, I can't complain. Feel proud to be part of this blog movement today. First day in.
All right.
I saw stuff new.
All right, all right. Hey, fantastic. And your name is?
My name is Jay Brooks.
All right, all right. Welcome. Welcome to the DC Poetry Project's Live Poets on Fire. You're here with one of our favorite members, favorite poets, Mr. Gary Wingdog Malone from Alabama. And my name is Michael Anthony Ingram. I'm the director of the DC Poetry Project. I'd like to say welcome to you for joining us tonight.
I appreciate it. Appreciate it. Pleasure is all mine.
Would you like to share any of your work?
I might. Give me one second. I'm actually driving at the moment.
Okay. Look, you drive. What we'll do, we'll handle it until you're ready, all right? Just let me know when you're ready, okay?
Okay, cool.
All right, then. All right, great. I'm glad you're here. Glad you're here. Let's see. Gary, I think I'm going to recite one by Claude McKay. And it's called If We Must Die. If we must die, let it not be like hogs, hunted and penned in an inglorious spot, while round us bark the mad and hungry dogs, making their mock at our accursed lot. If we must die, oh, let us nobly die, so that our precious blood may not be shed in vain. Then even the monsters we defy shall be constrained to honor us, though dead. Oh, kinsmen, we must meet the common foe. Though far outnumbered, let us show us brave, and for their thousand blows deal one death blow. What though before us lies the open grave? Like men, we'll face the murderous, cowardly pack, pressed to the wall, dying, but fighting back. And that's Claude McKay, If We Must Die. Very powerful piece.
Good.
Claude McKay, a very well-known poet.
Yeah.
Very well-known poet. You like to go again, Gary?
Well,
it's just
well,
three of us tonight.
Matter of fact,
want me to read another one?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll just read another one. I'll just read another one. This is what we do. All right. Our new friend, are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. Great. And your name again one more time so I can make sure I've got it right.
All right, my first it's Jay Ripper. That's my moniker. It's Ripper is an acronym for Rhetoric and Profound Poetry Amplified.
Oh wow, Jay Ripper. All right, well,
yes,
welcome to the show, Jay Ripper.
All right.
You're on the air. You're on.
Defiant, evader, lost, intimidated, negative, questioning, uneducated, environment prone, naive, truant. All traits of a delinquent child taught anger and rebel is the only way to survive from frequent downs, because ups are minimized and you'll never be nothing out of frequent sounds. Shut up, don't cry. Become a child's reality where in the streets it's Mortal Kombat and finish him in the jail of 6 feet under is the fatality. I do not look to hover. I look to be under. Understanding the perception to be under is not to be peasant thinking, but to be under is being involved in a strong foundation. No ears to listen, no voice to project. Ironic story of a kid in a project. Imagine everything towards you being scrutiny. And music, hustling drugs and fast food chains your opportunities. Try to get back to the host. Sorry about that.
All right. You want to start over?
I might. Hold on one second.
Yeah,
make sure you're being
through
me.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, take your time. Yeah, it's all good.
Okay. Change the opportunity. Let's everything. To be honest, it's somewhat like politics, but it's so complex, we refuse to acknowledge it. And the ideal ratio of jail to education is flat out astonishing. Yeah, I know. Let me calm this down a bit. Let's picture this. Three kids, one goal, three classes, upper, middle, low. If we can actually admit that these classes are somewhat different or indistinctly different, let's continue on with the show. Choice of education, spoiled, financially abundant, typical of the upper. Choice of education, relatively spoiled, financially resourceful, typical of the middle. Dictated choice of education, struggle, financially dependent, typical of the low. Looking at these classes, which child is bound to succeed from the get-go? Which one would you choose? Unfortunately, delinquents have no choice. Delinquents have no voice. Delinquents people try to avoid. Instead of looking at what a delinquent is, let's look at what a delinquent is missing. Fill the void and support the vision. This is a long road of perseverance and trial, but I'll smile. Thoughts of an ex-delinquent juvenile. And that's it right there.
All right, man. Wow. Very powerful.
Appreciate it.
Talk about your inspiration. I mean, I can think of what inspires me in that, but talk about your inspiration and why do you write? What makes you write?
Because I was such an introvert growing up. First of all, I was adopted. I was taken by CPS at 3 because my mother burned the house down. My brother and I were living in. I lived in foster care till about 9, and I ended up getting adopted. And my adopted parents were so grounded into the church. They didn't understand arts. They didn't understand, you know, me. So a lot of times I was so introverted where I couldn't express myself the way that I wanted to. And the way for me to express myself has always been, you know, through poetry. And me going through the juvenile system to actually getting incarcerated, being sentenced to 5 years, did time and things like that. Now I've dedicated my life to trying to help other teens and adolescents and things like that to keep them out of prison. Because one of my biggest goals now is I believe strongly that prevention is better than punishment. So I've dedicated my life just, you know, through poetry, through advocacy, and a nonprofit to help save lives and save these adolescent kids.
Oh, man. That's nice. That's nice.
Appreciate it.
Have you been able to work with a lot of young people, man, in terms of what you plan to do and what you are doing in terms of poetry?
Absolutely. I started up a workshop where we have my movement is Team Perseverance. So I have a Team Perseverance poetry workshop where the kids actually write poetry based on different stories of perseverance and where we're coming from and actually work on goals and actually being able to accomplish them and changing their perspective on life and also trying to give them different opportunities to open up their vision for bigger dreams besides sports and music, of course.
Oh, wow. Is that here in the D.C. metro area?
Yes, sir. It's been, I'm always in Bowie, but I'm stationed all the way around, and I help a lot of kids out throughout PG County.
Okay.
Oh, wow. So that the more I'm trying to reach as many as I can, but my grassroots is in PG County.
All right. Now, you're a member of the D.C. Poetry Project, right?
Yes, I signed up yesterday.
All right. Well, welcome aboard, man. We're glad to have you. Need to have more good people like yourself in the group that we can do some good things together.
Appreciate it.
Do some good things together. Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Gary, you've worked with that same population. I remember some of those stories you shared with me about the kids that you work with. Are you there, Gary?
Yeah, I'm here.
That's all right.
Yeah, I was thinking about that when he was talking about that. Yeah, it carried me back to the days when I was helping those youth that I used to work with at the rehab facility.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we've got some powerful people on this line with wonderful stories, poetry. Like you said, again, when you feel like you cannot share, and sometimes you don't have to share it with others, but just having that opportunity to get it outside of your system somehow on paper, you know, or just to, if you're going to share, just share it out into the wind. You need to be able to do that, bro. You need to be able to do it. That's what saved my life, you know, just being able to just let it go free.
Absolutely. Well, how long have you guys been doing poetry?
Oh, man. I mean, for me, probably, since my early 20s. I think I wrote one piece, man, when I was 8 or 9 years old, but then I stopped for a very long time. But I got back into it during my 20s, and I've yet to stop. What about you, Gary?
I just been writing since 2003. Yeah. Matter of fact, I shared one of the first poems that I wrote, but it was one when I first started writing, and I wrote this poem when I was watching the kids. They was doing rec time. You know, I was working at a rehab facility, and they was outside playing and everything. Right. And I sat in the chair, and as I watched them, I wrote this poem, and it's called Trade Places With Me.
Wow.
But one day, I like somebody to step in my shoes so that someone else will know what I go through. Sing the words to the song that my heart sang. Cry my tears, know my fears, and feel my pain. Somebody trade places with me for just one day. Experience what I feel when things don't go my way. My trials, my tribulations, my burdens, my sorrows, my temptations, and my worries. I want someone to know what it feels like to be me. Know my frustrations and my desires to be released from these demons, this prison, this shell. Set free, turn loose, and escape this hell. For just one day, I'd like someone to understand me. Be my mind and think my thoughts. Be my eyes and see what I see. Live my life and share my problems, my ups and downs. Know what makes me happy and what makes me frown. To experience the struggle of who I'm trying to be. For 24 hours, just one day, somebody please. Trade places with me.
Wow. That's profound. He said that was back in 2003?
Huh?
You think you wrote that back in 2003?
I wrote it May 7, 2004. I wrote that sitting there watching them kids, and after I read it, we had a group, and I read it to them.
Wow.
And I would read that often to them. Because they all have come through there wanting some people to understand them, you know. They not just, you know, most of them was addicted to, like, opiates, heroin, you know, all kind of different drugs. And some had, you know, a lot of rich kids, but they just was misunderstood, like you said. They didn't know how to express themselves. And drugs gave them an outlet, you know, and they felt misunderstood. And I could relate to them, you know.
Right.
And I wrote that piece, and I would share that a lot of times.
Wow.
Well, what I'd like to do is to share a piece by a young man. His name is Sanctuary the Poet. I'm not sure whether, Jay Ripper, you know him or not. He's a local poet, but has some acclaim, a lot of acclaim, and it's called Product Comprehension.
Okay. Product Comprehension by Sanctuary the Poet. I'm a product of my environment where some aren't used to, where hard times are regular and squares don't pass through, where water and cereal was for breakfast with the rent reading pass through. Some of y'all don't have a clue on what I'm saying, so I'll break it down for you with no delaying. Babies in the streets learning about life instead of playing. Dudes on the corner making ends meet for different causes, for family, possessions, or trying to become bosses. Where you grow to understand that you will take losses. Whether it be freedom or life, it is what it is. Where teenage girls get pregnant, don't give a damn about the kids. Where half of the fathers are locked down, stuck in a cell doing bids. Where the dangers of gun blasts scare you, but your adrenaline is flowing. Like a moth to a flame, you really don't know where you're going. Drunk and drugged up, you don't realize that you're reaping and sowing. But that's the product that we produce, and some love the life, while others do it just to get out and board a flight. Half of us is used to the dark, not giving a damn about the light. Some comprehend while others never will, for the ones I love will have me die or have me killed, which is graceful in our minds, but you consider it to be ill. That's why my words are so blunt, so you can understand. Half of these rappers are faking, get popped to be quick to take the stand. Politicians lying and cheating to help the rich take over our land. But it is what it is, everybody has to die. What you do on this earth will be judged as it comes to you from the sky. Little taste of where I'm from, where I live, where I reside. So if you still have trouble trying to comprehend, try taking those blinders off and walk with me towards the end. Well, you recognize the real, but the snakes keep trying to blend. This life isn't grand, but it is our life. Feel me in my words and how they cut deeper than a knife. Where good times make us shed tears and hearts full of strife. So you can move on and let life and let a lot of things go. It's seldom in our environment to do that, preventing us to grow. So respect our mind, our residence, and everything I'm trying to show. And peace.
That was Sanctuary the Poet. He's been a guest on our show. He did a full hour sharing his works. He travels the tri-state area with his works again. Sanctuary the Poet, and we'll be right back. Power Poetics. My name is Michael Ingram. I'm here with Gary Malone as well as Jay Ripper. I think Jay Ripper, he's no longer on the line, but hopefully he'll come back. We're here sharing pieces of our work and just talking about important things. A lot is happening. A lot has happened in the world. A lot has happened in our own personal lives, and it's just a time for us to just let it out and through poetry. I'd like to share a piece, Gary, if that's okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, thank you, buddy. This one is called A Forgotten Soul Woke Up Early This Morning, an ode to telling it like it is, and still a work in progress. A forgotten soul woke up early this morning, wired. He had not slept well the night before. The constant rain had pummeled his window, kept him from sleeping, kept him from stealing away home. And he recollected what Muhammad Ali said in the mid-1970s, I am America. I am the part that you won't recognize. But get used to me. Black, confident, cocky, my name, not yours, my religion, not yours, my goals, my own, get used to me. A forgotten soul woke up early this morning, mired. His existence, like the torrential downpour, had engulfed him, overwhelmed him, and enslaved him in his stifling embrace. And he recalled what W.B. Du Bois wrote in the early 1900s. It is a peculiar sensation, this double consciousness, this sense of always looking at oneself through others' eyes, of measuring one's soul by the tape of a world that looks on in amused contempt and pity. And what Eldridge Cleaver said in the 1960s, all the gods are dead except the god of war. A forgotten soul woke up early this morning, tired. His body ached, no relief from the inner torrent. The deluge had offered no refuge, and he lay there in the midst of his own drenching and wept. And he thought back to what Ralph Ellison stated in his book, The Invisible Man. I am an invisible man. No, I'm not a spook like those who haunted Edgar Allan Poe. Nor am I one of your Hollywood movie ectoplasms. I am a man of substance, of flesh and bone, fiber and liquids. And I might even be said to possess a mind. I am invisible, understand, simply because people refuse to see me. A forgotten soul woke up early this morning, tired. And he reminded him of that episode of Good Times when Florida finally realized and finally accepted that James was dead, and she dropped that bowl of potato salad and she said, damn, damn, damn. A forgotten soul woke up early this morning and he remembered what good times were like, but he knew that his soul would be forgotten again soon. The end.
All right.
What is right there?
What did you say, buddy?
I said, what inspired you to write that?
Well, I wrote that back in 2005. I was looking on this sheet of paper. It was in 2005. It was in my book that I published in 2000. But as I was reading through it, I felt like it needed something else. I mean, it, you know, I had the pieces about the forgotten soul, tired, wired, all those things. But then I felt like I wanted to find some more information that supported it, stories from black experience about life and what it's like to feel like when you go out for a job or something important and you know that you've got this, you're happy about it, but you know what could potentially happen because it's happened before. And I don't know, I just wanted to put those things, to merge all of that together and to see what would happen. So that's why I wrote that. That's why I wrote it.
I like that, man.
There's one,
very thought-provoking.
Well, there was one more line that, for whatever reason, I can't find the second page, but I had included something by Zora Neale Hurston where she says, stated, sometimes I feel discriminated against, but it does not make me angry. It merely astonishes me how anyone can deny themselves the pleasure of my company. It's beyond me. You know, I always thought that was a nice line, too.
Yeah, I got a book of quotes. I got a book of quotes by African Americans. And that's in there.
Mm-hmm. We've got another person online. Hold on one second. We've got one person online. Let's see whether, I think I know who this is. Area code 858. Is that you, Kofi?
Hello. 858. I'm in front.
Yeah.
I'm just listening and I'm enjoying it. Thank you, guys.
All right. All right, my friend. Always good to hear you out there. Yeah, you take care of us out in the real world. All right.
Yeah, I'm going to mute myself so that I catch up the night. So.
All right. Well, be careful on the way home. All right.
Well, thank you.
All right, sir. Gary, we're back to you, my friend. You got another piece for us. We've got about 11 minutes left. We did a pretty good job tonight.
Yeah, I got this piece. It's called Some Tools for Your Mind. And this is another one I wrote I used to share with the kids at the rehab facility. And it's called Tools for Your Mind. Michael, are you too high to fly, too bad to cry, too honest to lie, too lazy to try? You think you're too hard to die? Are you too real to feel, too soft to kill, too full to feel, too free to live? Are you too quiet to talk, too fast to walk, too slow to go, too tall to grow, too dope to flow? You think you're too wise to know? Are you too mean to forgive, too greedy to give, too blessed for more, too rich, too poor? Are you too good for luck, too pretty to touch, too tough for pain? Never too late to change. Are you too much to stop, too hot to try, too tired to hide, too tired to ride, too scared to hide? Are you too old, too young, too serious for fun, too slick to trick, too angry to joke, too paid, too broke, too cool, too hot, too gangster, too pop? Are you too strong, too street, too swift, too beat, too weak and too sweet, too brave to fight, too dark for light? Michael, today, tonight, no one is too black or too white, too wrong to right. Mm.
No one is too wrong to right. Man. Man, that reminds me of this piece by Isabel Knowles called Get Rich or Die Trying.
My crib, my car, my fancy things, my
whack ass bling,
my Bentley, my Porsche, my accumulated stretch, my Range Rover, boom boom.
Ow!
Gimme my champagne, my
fashion designer clothes, Gucci this, Fendi that.
Woo! Gimme that,
my Louis V sweaters with the hat to match,
my Boeing jet, my
paradise life,
my yacht got a triple deck.
Woo!
My clothes, my tools, my money in the bank.
Bill Gates, Donald Trump, let me in.
My money,
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 my cash,
my dough,
my riches,
cheddar, bread,
dollars, my gold, my
diamond rolls,
beamer,
Lexus,
my chromed out semis, 2 grand and pop.
This is why, this is why, this is why I'm hot.
My pool, my VIP, my
wood decorated on chrome,
candy coated Chevy,
my fine wine Bacardi,
Ben Frankie,
big money,
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 top dollars,
cheddar,
money,
money,
money, and a white man get paid off for all of that.
What you think of that?
I like it. I like the hip hop influences in that.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's like you were saying. What do you say? Too right to be wrong. It's too wrong to not right.
And no one is too wrong to right.
No wrong is too wrong to right. If you think about those lyrics, I mean, you may say, "Oh, that's just hip hop." I mean, and the stuff they talk about objectifies women, about drugs and alcohol or whatever. But those brothers do—they are writing. You know, they're getting it out of their system. You know, say right or wrong. And that depends on who's listening. You know, people got to get it out. They got to get it out. They got to talk about it. They got to say it. They got to share it. And people do it in different ways.
Yes. Yeah, that's so true.
You know, County Cullen, I think he was doing the Harlem Renaissance. He wrote this piece called Yet I Do Marvel. I like this. He said, "I doubt not God is good, well-meaning, kind. And did he stoop to quibble, could tell why the little buried mole continues blind? Why flesh that mirrors him must someday die? Make plain the reason torture Tantalus is baited by the fickle fruit declare, if merely brute caprice dooms Sisyphus to struggle up a never-ending stair? Inscrutable his ways are, and immune to catechisms by a mind too strewn with petty cares to slightly understand what awful brain compels his awful hand. Yet do I marvel at this curious thing to make a poet black and bid him sing."
Yeah. I was reading it as you. I got this book with African-American Poetry, an anthology from 1773 to 1927, and that poem is in there. Yeah, got Gene Toomers, Langton Hughes, County Cullen, Phyllis Wheatley. So, when you said that, I like, oh, I remember that somewhere, and I picked up the book, and I said, yeah, there it is. And I was reading it as you was reading along as you were singing that.
We've been writing a long time, bro. We've been writing a long time, man, you know. And I guess for me, just that very last line, to make a poet black and bid him sing, you know, yet I do marvel at this curious thing, to make a poet black and bid him sing.
Yes. Yes.
I'm sorry, buddy, please.
Huh?
What were you saying?
I said I just like that powerful that line, you know, it can ring so many things, you know what I'm saying, to make a poor black and to make him sing, you know. Mm-hmm. And to bid him sing. I wonder where he was coming from. I would like to hear where he was coming from, when he wrote that.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that would be very powerful, and especially during 1927, the 20s, you know, being African American today, but especially during that period of time, you know, with the level of struggle and discourse about struggle and the things that we had to endure, you know, that we still endure in a different kind of way, but we still endure. I mean, what makes us black? What makes us sing? What makes us share these words, however they're written? You know, that's the topic for the ages, to be honest.
Yes, it is. Hey, can I read this short poem by Langston Hughes? It's called I Too?
Yes, of course.
And I'm reading it out of this book. It's called I Too. I Too sing America. I am the darker brother. They send me to eat in the kitchen when company comes, but I laugh and I eat well and I grow strong. Tomorrow I'll be at the table when company comes. Nobody I dare said to me, eat in the kitchen then. Besides, they'll see how beautiful I am and be ashamed. I am too. I too am America. I like that.
Yeah, I like that too. I like that
too.
I too think America.
Yeah. I like that.
Well, let's do it this way. I found a book of Langston Hughes poems. So let's do it this way. You start out the first line, I'll say the second, and we'll go back and forth. All right?
What poem?
That same one.
Oh, it's the same one? I Too?
Yeah, I Too.
Okay.
Okay. All right, you're on, my friend.
I too sing America.
I am the darker brother.
They send me to eat in the kitchen
when company comes.
But I laugh
and eat well
and grow strong.
Tomorrow
I'll be at the table
when company comes.
Nobody I dare
say to me,
eat in the kitchen.
Then,
besides,
they'll see how beautiful I am
and be ashamed.
I too am America.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that nice? Well, we've only got about 30 seconds left. I want to thank you, Gary. I want to thank Jay Ripper for being here. I want to thank Kofi for always signing on, being a loyal follower and listener of the DC Poetry Project's weekly call-in show. So to all of you, good night, and let poetry ring. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you. Good night.
All right. Good night, everybody.